Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The mayor of Skagway and her mother were struck by a bus and killed in Washington, D.C. last night. Alaska Public Media reports that the D.C. Metropolitan Police say 61-year-old Monica Adams Carlson of Skagway and 85-year-old Cora Louise Adams of Washington State were struck in a crosswalk near the National Mall. A criminal justice reform bill is cruising through Congress. The First Step Act shortens sentences for some federal inmates and provides more opportunities for rehabilitation. It passed the Senate Tuesday by a vote of 87 to 12. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports on why Alaska senators were among the opposition.
Senator Dan Sullivan says his decision was driven in part by Alaska's experience with SB 91. That's the state criminal justice reform bill the Alaska legislature passed in 2016. Many associate it with an increase in car theft and burglaries, particularly in Anchorage and Juneau. Sullivan says it would be great if the federal bill works as intended to trim unfairly long sentences without compromising public safety.
The concern about crime and criminal justice reform in Alaska is so high.
Sullivan said the legislation, like SB 91, aims to reduce sentences for less serious crimes, but he says the leniency goes too far.
Some of the lower-level crimes had sentencing reductions and even going from a felony to a misdemeanor, and you saw, in many ways, a significant increase in crime.
The White House and much of Congress is celebrating the bipartisan support for the First Step Act, and in Alaska, SB 91 has its defenders, too. Democratic State Representative Matt Klayman of Anchorage says Alaska's crime increase coincided with the opioid crisis, and both started well before the legislature passed SB 91. Klayman says a report last month by the Alaska Criminal Justice Commission shows the state's reform laws are working.
We actually have a higher percentage now in Alaska prisons of violent offenders and a lower percentage of nonviolent offenders. We have fewer people in prison for simple possession. We have more people in prison for drug dealing, and we're spending more resources on rehabilitation.
Senator Lisa Murkowski issued a statement before her no vote, saying Congress needed more time to evaluate the bill. Proponents have been working on it for months, but it got a sudden boost in recent days with President Trump's support. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Universities across the country are reviewing Trump administration proposed changes to rules governing how schools handle sexual assault and harassment cases under federal Title IX law. Universities deal with cases through administrative processes that can result in punishments, including job loss and expulsion. According to a U.S. Department of Education fact sheet, the proposed regulations rolled out last month by Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos seek to ensure schools understand their legal obligations.
Kind of really legalizing a process that maybe doesn't need to be legalized.
Kara Carlson is the University of Alaska Fairbanks Advocacy Program Coordinator. Carlson works for the Interior Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living, which contracts with UAF to provide victim support. She says the federal proposal is aimed at ensuring due process to all parties, but tilts the playing field.
While the pendulum may have been more towards like the victim's rights, it's now kind of shifting more towards the respondent's rights.
Carlson lists numerous concerns, including narrowing of the scope of cases universities are required to address, limiting them to incidents which occur on campus or elsewhere within school programs or activities.
That doesn't include incidences that happen at a residence if the residence is off campus, or in the community if something happens. And oftentimes these incidences impact individuals both on and off campus.
Carlson also points to a definition of sexual harassment which sets the bar higher.
I mean, it says severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive. And many of the folks we're working with, their complaints under the new proposed regulations wouldn't even be able to be investigated.
The proposed regulations mandate that the accused is presumed innocent, has the opportunity to cross-examine the alleged victim at a live hearing, and gives universities the leeway to apply a higher burden of proof in adjudicating cases.
And could potentially impact how people choose to report or if they choose to report.
Other proposed changes tweak the system through which cases are handled, banning the current single investigator model UA uses and making it more court-like.
Should a victim really need to be represented by an attorney in the process of filing a complaint, and would a victim want to even go through that process?
University of Alaska officials are not yet ready to comment on the proposed changes. Found to have mishandled sexual assault cases in the past, UA is currently working to fulfill an agreement with the Federal Office of Civil Rights to improve its sex offense prevention, response, and adjudication programs. UA spokeswoman Robbie Graham says a broad-based effort to understand and comment on the proposed changes began immediately after they came out last month.
Doing an overall evaluation with the deeper dive continuing into the new year.
We need to be very methodical and take our time in looking at this.
University of Alaska Fairbanks Title IX Coordinator Margot Griffith highlights the challenge of applying regulatory language to a sensitive topic.
You combine emotion and compliance, and there is an explosion.
Griffith, Graham, and Carlson all emphasize the importance of commenting on the proposed Title IX regulations. The U.S. Department of Education is accepting input through January 28th. After soil disruption caused by the November 30th earthquake in Anchorage, scientists are warning homeowners and building managers to test for radon gas. Alaska's strongest natural concentrations are in the interior, but soils near the earthquake's epicenter also contain the carcinogenic gas. As KUAC's Robin reports, testing might not be quick, but the kits are inexpensive.
Short-term radon testing kits are available in hardware stores or can be ordered online from the American Lung Association and such, and cost about $10 to $20 a piece. Short- and long-term kits are also available at the Cooperative Extension. That's where energy specialist Art Nash has been getting phone calls and email from people who felt the earthquake.
Many people are finding cracks. So they're concerned from the point of intrusion of the radioactive gas radon.
The extension is part of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and it's here in Alaska's interior that is home to schist and other rock types that harbor uranium. Uranium's decay is the source of the colorless, odorless, cancer-causing gas that escapes upward from the ground. But other areas of Alaska, the Yukon-Tanana uplands, and the Matanuska and Susitna valleys also have high concentrations. The earthquake and subsequent aftershocks have shifted a lot of subsurface gravels and sand and have made new paths for the gas to come up. To know if it's coming into your house, you need an empirical test.
For most folks, it's a two-day kit of charcoal, activated charcoal that they put out that soaks all of the ambient air into the pores of the charcoal and then can be capped and sent off. And then it's run under, for lack of better terms, something similar to a large Geiger counter.
Nash says radon is not an immediate concern compared to what homeowners have on their hands right now.
The most immediate thing is to check those vents, the ducting and the vent piping, getting the combustion gases out of the house and making sure none of it's leaking into the house.
But he wants people to put radon testing on their eventual to-do lists, particularly for buildings not on peat or silt. The radioactive threat may not be immediate, but it's not going away.
Maybe being in a room or home 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day or an office where you're breathing it in over a number of years, that your lungs are slowly getting pinged by the alpha particles that are slinging off of the radon that's in the air.
There are radon facts on the Cooperative Extension's website. It is uaf.edu/CES for Cooperative Extension Service. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.